Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Lynn Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Hey, if your hollies are not producing berries, we have to have the talk. We'll explain in our first segment.
It's time to winterize your fig tree. We'll explain what you'll need to do in our second segment.
Are you looking to attract more wild birds? We'll help you out with some great tips in our third segment.
We have an update in the glow-in-the-dark firefly petunias. Hear all about it in our fourth segment.
So what's in a name? Ever wonder where plants get their name? We'll find out where the Annabelle hydrangea got its name in our final segment.
So stay tuned, and we'll be right back in the garden right after these messages.
High Yield brand bone meal contains 10% slow-release natural phosphorus. It helps all plants to develop sturdy root systems and stimulate healthy growth. You'll use it every time you plant bulbs, but it also is an excellent supplement fertilizer for roses, flowers, and vegetable gardens. High Yield bone meal is sourced from steamed bone meal, which provides a clean, natural source of phosphorus. High Yield is brought to you by VPG, the Fertilome people. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees. And the flowers and the trees. So if you want berries, yeah. I'm sorry, you've got to have a pair of male and female hollies in order for them to pollinate. And what happens? They get pregnant and they have berries. So, they gotta do their thing. Any parents that have children in the car. again, you think about your garden, that like a tomato, it has the same pollination, that male and female parts in their flowers. And that, again, we talk about this all the time, right, Julio? Yeah, intelligent design.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, it kind of goes all the way through.
Reproduce.
But then again, the chicken or the egg. Anyway, well, that's another show.
Yeah.
But where some plants are self-pollinating, where they have both male and female flowers on the same plant, like tomatoes and other things, hollies need a male variety to pollinate the females. And no, if you're ever wondering, and I know we're past the election, but men cannot have babies, okay?
Yeah.
That male hollies cannot get berries.
Yeah, they don't.
But male hollies don't have, like many men, don't have much in moral department. Mm-hmm. So they'll pollinate a bunch of female hollies in order for them to get the berries. But then again, you need to know what type of holly you have. And what I find is interesting is some of the names, when you go and say, for instance, you have winterberry holly. Winterberry holly is a deciduous holly, beautiful red berries. Always, they kind of, you always see it in pictures where it has a cardinal on it in the snow.
Always.
But they need to have a male pollinator, and they have, you know, like Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy is the pollinator for a female winterberry hollies.
We'll be talking about names later on.
Oh, well, we will, but it's just the way it works. Yeah. But one male holly can pollinate 5 to 10 female holly plants. So you don't need to have one to one. So they're not monogamous.
Right.
It's going to be an interesting show.
Yeah, it is.
You got to know what type of holly you have. And for instance, if you have, we get it all the time, but people will stop into Bloomers and say, my holly just doesn't get any berries. It may get flowers, but if it gets flowers and it doesn't produce any berries, maybe you have a male where it's never going to get berries, or maybe you have a female and there's no male to pollinate it close by. Again, it ends up, it's an unfertilized female. So anyway, birds and the bees. If I only thought of this when I was talking to my children about this stuff. Anyway, that they would have no idea what I was talking about then. They did the first time. There are several reasons. If you have hollies that are not producing, okay, one of the cool things is that there's just not enough bees coming to your holly that are, and that's where we go to the birds and the bees, where the bees are need to cross-pollinate, go from the male to the female, or and that they will pollinate those berries. So that's why, I think in this spring, when we talk about, before we hit gardening season, we're going to talk about putting in a pollinator garden in your vegetable garden, just a strip of plants that attract bees and things that will pollinate your fruit, because you'll get, just bear with me for a minute, you'll see the connection. The more pollination you get on your vegetable plants, the more your production will be. So right now, you may be counting on just bees showing up, and they do. But if you have pollinators who attract more bees, you'll have more success.
Yeah.
Especially sometimes there's tomatoes where there's sprays that you put on tomatoes for blossom, for where the blossoms drop off and they don't get pollinated. So that's just something. But in any case, it's important to make sure that you have them close enough, and it doesn't have to be like right next to it. It could be in your yard. So it's not like you have to have a row. Like, think of it, you're planting a hedge of hollies and all of a sudden you've got one on the end that's the male, and that one never gets any berries and it looks stupid because all of the other ones do. You don't have to do that. You could put it in the background. That it could be on the side of the house, or it could be in a different spot. They're going to look exactly the same, except they're not going to have any berries on it. There is something too. If reduced activity by pollinators, because we're in a, when nurserymen talk about having a cold stretch or it's rainy weather all the time, when the hollies are in full bloom, it reduces the amount of pollinators that come out to basically fertilize the plants. And it takes about 3 to 5 years for a female holly to be at a mature size to where it will get berries. Now, I love some of the stuff that, let's see, Centerton Nursery does it, Monrovia does it, and that in the blue hollies that are more, some are smaller, where they'll put two cuttings in the pot. And you'll see it, sometimes they'll call it a kid series, where it'll be a male and a female cutting in the same pot. So when you buy that plant, it already has a pollinator with it. As it grows, it may look almost blotchy because it'll be, half male, half female, and only the female part has berries, but you're guaranteed a good production of berries. So go out. Garden centers right now are pretty much, they're starting to reduce their prices on nursery stock. They want to They want to get the inventory out of there, and that it's a great time to go out and shop your local garden center.
Oh, yeah, it's a great, good time. It's been warm, hasn't
it? Yep, it is a great time.
Yeah.
It is a great time. All right, anything to add, Julio?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it, that these two opposing...
Right, and it's not just hollies. Like there's other types of plants that require it, but not everything. We get a lot of questions about it, and it really doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't apply, you know. Where
some like things
perennials, like you know, it's like, do I need a male and a female coneflower? It's like, no, it doesn't work there. It only works in a few, like skimmia. Mm-hmm. Skimmia has to have a male and a female, and that surprisingly, it looks like a holly, but azaleas do not.
Yeah,
so. All right, we'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy, we want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomers has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG! Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomers stocks Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomers Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, it's time to winterize your fig tree, folks. Yes, it's even though it's a little warm out, which is a great time to do it.
It's crazy warm.
Yeah,
it's crazy warm. Yeah. In the ride to the studio today, we were talking about how Bloomers needs to irrigate all the way through until we get a hard freeze. I don't have our sprinkler scheduled to be blown out until November 26th.
Ooh.
You know, it's right before Thanksgiving. It's less than a month from Christmas, which is crazy, crazy.
Yeah, no raining.
Yeah, but, well, what tells the trees to lose their leaves? It's the sunlight, right, Julio?
Yep,
it's not the cold.
Not the cold,
things. So that's one thing. You got to wait till your fig tree loses all of its leaves, okay? And the key is, too, is you need to prune it. Like, we've seen some of those... it's amazing feats of engineering. If you go down to South Philly and you look in some of the backyards, that there's these towers of fig tree that they're it's amazing. They're like 15 feet in the air, and they're all wrapped up.
Yeah.
But what you do is you need to cut off some of those stems that are crossing and that are rubbing together. You got to clean them up. Anything that's growing out horizontally, you got to take them off. You know, and if your tree's really tall, you can remove some of the older, more non-productive. And that's hard. That's harsh.
Yeah.
Older non-productive stems. Who wrote this? Anyway. And that really, they produce more on shorter, younger ones. So I don't know about that. And this is where I always tease Julio. It's like, you need to go and get your stockings.
Yes. Yep. My stockings.
I guess you got to borrow them now from Judy, right?
Yeah. She can get new ones.
She's going to get new ones. Where did my stockings go? Well I used them to wrap up my fig tree. And, and the whole point is that it widens the area where you're tying it up. Like some people, like if you use wire, my gosh, you're girdling those, you're damaging the wood on the fig tree. Even string, you want to use something that is going to have a wider surface area that's not going to damage that. So even if you're doing roses and tying up roses and things like that, think about using stockings.
Yeah, give it a little bit.
You know, and hey, this day and age, nobody's going to question any man going in buying stockings. So just go get them, and you're going to buy the cheapest you can find. And that you're going to wrap that bundle up. Now you've got a bunch of basically twigs, and that you're going to wrap them up, and you're going to try to form a pyramid. So they're going to be harder, and you don't want to break them. It's going to be harder from the bottom, and as you get to the top, it will be easier. So now what do? You wrap that stem bundle in a layer of burlap, and then you can secure it with twine. And don't just go with one sheet of burlap, because it's going to fall. Wrap it tight with burlap and then overwrap it, and then you're going to be using twine to hold it up. You're basically kind of making like a cage. And in fact, after you do the burlap, you can use bamboo or metal stakes as a frame, and you can use chicken wire and that around the tree. Now, these are for some big, like big I said, guys, some big guys that you're talking. We're not talking about something that's like 5 feet tall. And then wrap cardboard around that because you're insulating. It has been warmer, and we've been able to grow some plants that are in a hardiness zone that are much warmer farther down south. But to our brethren up in our listening area, that's up in Zone 5, Poconos, North Jersey, on the border, some areas of Connecticut, you're going to want to do this because that will keep them alive, especially if we're getting some really cold winters. And don't be fooled. We talked about it last week. We had 0 degrees, zero, not, 32, zero. So it gets cold, and you want to make sure that the roots and all of the plant are protected. So you're going to wrap around that frame cardboard, tar paper or roof felt around that chicken wire frame, and you're going to secure it with staples, or you could do metal ties like twist ties, and that it repels water, but it still allows for some air circulation because you've got, it's going to be insulated, but air circulation is key because you don't want any diseases or anything. There are some folks that like to fill that with shredded leaves. I'm not a big fan.
How come?
Just because I think that it can spread disease and other things. It can make it rot. Just not. I mean, if you're in the coldest areas, go ahead. But, I just don't like it because, again, those can get moldy and start to rot.
Snows and rains.
And that bringing up wet, at the end when you're all done and at the very top, you're going to fold everything inside each other so that you can put a 5-gallon bucket on top of everything so you keep that water from going through the middle and keeping it wet. Same thing, you don't want like snow. You got to make sure that that 5-gallon bucket, you know, it usually has a handle on it, that you want to secure that handle so it doesn't become a projectile in a winter storm. You know how windy it gets. All of a sudden, you know, you take out your neighbor's, you know, bay window with your 5-gallon bucket off your fig tree. That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good. So now you've got it wrapped up and you're waiting. It's going to be nice and thermal protected. When do you unwrap it? When the freeze warnings have slowed. Not frost, but freeze. You can easily look up now on the internet, like when does it go and stop freezing? Like it can freeze at night, but not be 20 degrees. You can't do that. So you need it so that it's not going to freeze. Frost is different. You can let it get a frost on it. That's not going to work. That's going to hurt. All right, so Julio, say you have a fig tree that's in a pot and you grow them in the pot, like on a patio or something. Now what are you going to do?
You're pretty much doing the same kind of thing, Glenn.
So you're going to...
Same kind of thing.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you because you weren't...
You're going to do this basically the same kind of thing that you're doing.
Yeah, so you're going to protect the tops of it. If you can bring it into a unheated or a sun porch where it doesn't get terrifically cold... Yeah. You know, that's not a bad idea, or into a sun porch that is slightly heated that you keep like 50 degrees or less, but not freezing. You could do something like that. You're going to water that. You're going to need to water it though, yeah, because its roots, it doesn't fully go dormant. Its roots are still active. So you want to keep it watered. And honestly, with this season that we're having, and you're going and taking your fruit tree and you're wrapping it up, protecting it from the future freeze that we're going to have, make sure you're watering it. You're still watering it. Right now, it needs water. Looking at some of the landscape plants around, they need water. We are, you know, there's almost like a false sense of security that, whoa, they're dormant. They lost their leaves. Now roots are growing. Just because plants don't have leaves, their roots are growing. Their roots are growing. I think that's about it. Yeah. You know, it's just make sure that you keep it so that it's wrapped up. If you go longer when you unwrap it, it's probably better than if you try to beat the, you know, it's like, oh, look, it's going to be 35 for the next 15 days. It's above freezing. And then all of a sudden we get 20 degrees and you think that it's okay in February. You know, like a certain unnamed person who planted his...
Don't throw me under the bus. Come on.
It's February. I'm going to plant my poinsettia outside.
Hey, it was 71 degrees.
Yeah, for a day, you know. But it lived, which is the amazing part.
And it's still living.
You must be living right.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Anyway, that's it. If you've got questions about actually taking care of fig trees, but any of the other plants, like we've talked about roses on the show, but if you happen to miss that, please give us a call on the hotline, which is 609-685-1880. We'll answer your questions, and if you make it on the air, we'll get you a t-shirt. We'll be right back right after these messages. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. We are proud to announce that Bloomers in the Garden has partnered with Renewal by Anderson of Greater Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and Southern Maryland. Renewal by Anderson is the top window and door company in the United States, specializing in replacement windows and doors. You might be thinking right now, what the heck do windows have to do with gardening? Well, Renewal by Anderson makes this beautiful garden bay window that's energy efficient and made from recycled materials. It's perfect for growing the finest indoor plants possible. When you are looking out your windows filled with plants in your beautiful garden, you don't want to see old windows that are cloudy, warped, or even rotting. That's why people in the horticulture community love Renewal by Andersen. Not only do we want our gardens to be beautiful, but their homes as well. Renewal by Andersen participates in horticultural events such as flower shows, earth days, and eco fairs. To get more information and set up a free home consultation, please visit www.philadelphiawindow.com and be sure to tell them Bloomers in the Garden sent you.
Is she gone?
Nope, she's still standing there.
What is she doing?
I think she's watching the grass grow.
That's our job.
I know, right? She's watching the grass grow, the flowers grow. Ooh, look, the trees are growing.
I can't say as I blame her. Remember where she bought all this stuff?
Duh, bought us there too.
Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Find us online at bloomers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Did you know that 40% of the population feed wild birds?
Ooh, that's pretty high.
It is the number two after gardening, the number two outdoor activity. I find that that's pretty amazing. And why do we even feed the wild birds? Go fend for yourself. Well, it's because, like we always say, like on your perennials, don't cut back your perennials until spring. Let the seed heads form so that the birds can get it. But unfortunately, with let's just say lots of urban space, that it's not filled with things that the birds can eat. So they need to be supplemented with wild bird food. 50 million Americans, 50 million Americans feed the birds. And that, here's why. Mm-hmm. Several studies have proved that feeding the birds helps lower stress, anxiety, and depression. Ooh, I'm going to feed them more. like one of the most popular birds, I love seeing cardinals, not just when they're in that winter scene with the pollinized fertilized winter berries, but anytime. And that cardinals are like, especially they like to perch. They don't like to cling on. My head just went off into Klingon. Do you know where I'm? You don't have any idea where I'm going.
Yeah,
come on, Aaron. Klingon.
I'm trying to follow you.
Ah, you aren't following me at all. Anyone? Star Trek. Klingon. They cling on. Where's Sam? Sam knows what I'm talking about.
I wasn't a Star Trek guy.
Sam has got to be a Star Trek guy.
Kind of.
Kind of. Well,
he's disqualifying himself already.
Lukewarm.
Sam.
Commit yourself.
Before you get the question, you disqualify yourself.
All right. So. Cardinals do not like to have a Klingon feeder where they will perch on the and cling on to, say, like the wire part of the feeder. There are specific types that will cling on, like it's actually type of Klingon feeder. But cardinals, they want to perch. And Brome Feeders has the great squirrel-proof feeder, and that the best thing about it has what they call a cardinal ring, which allows them to perch. So they'll be able to perch on there, and they'll be able to go and feed, and your squirrels will get pissed off because they can't get the food. So clingers now, okay, they go and they'll go up and that they'll even go upside down to eat. So what type? Woodpeckers for sure, titmouse, chickadees, nuthatches. Carolina Wren?
Wren? Yeah.
They're definitely one. And that they'll cut out the food that, like other birds that can't.
Right.
And especially some of the birds we don't like. Like, for instance, sparrows. I mean, sparrows are okay, but they like, you get sparrows and all of a sudden your feeder's empty.
Yeah, and they throw everything out.
Yeah, so, but in any case, that it cuts out some of the others. Yeah. And that's something to keep an eye on. When you go to pick out your feeder, talk to your local garden center, ask them about as far as will you know, will this detract, like grackles, for instance, is a bird, is like a bad bird. Because they come and they'll come in, fly in, and it's not just one. It's like all of a sudden they're emptying out your feeder. Yeah. So the better food, no matter what type of feeder you have, the better the food, okay, the better the clientele, yeah. Okay? Yeah. So what happens is, like, if you buy crummy bird seed from Sam's Club and it's like a giant bag for, you know, cheap, there's a reason. And it's because it's filled with filler. They put some good stuff in, but then they'll put in like red Milo, or they'll put in millet, or they'll put in things that not a lot of birds like.
Yeah, you can see twigs in there sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. And what happens is that, you know, all of a sudden you think that, oh, they really like that food, but then you find that it's all on the ground feeding the squirrels and some of the mourning doves, which is kind of nice. But it just makes a mess. And then you start attracting rodents. And then you wonder why I have mice in my basement. And like right here in studio, we have Cole's Hot Meat. And it basically is hulled sunflower. At World Series is just on.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Aaron, are you a sunflower guy where you take the shells and you shove the whole thing in your mouth?
No, I actually just – I go and get them without the
without the shells. Like the hot meats, but for human consumption.
I mean, when I was younger, we used to chew them.
So if you were watching the World Series, you saw when they would show the dugout that these guys are like spitting out shells.
Right.
Of – the issue is when you have hot meats, it's they'll eat every kernel. When you buy, say, black oil sunflower – they have the shells in there, and the shells take up so much airspace that you're actually are getting more for your money by buying the whole thing. Just like Aaron just said, where you know you feed the shelled seeds to the kids, but they've got to spit that out, and that it ends up taking more of that surface area out, and that where again what are you getting for your money? It may be more expensive to go with the straight sunflower hearts, where it's cheaper to go with the black oil sunflower, but everything is edible in this at the sunflower heart bag as opposed to black oil. Black oil ends up they're basically chipping out the seed and laying it on the ground and everything else, and then it's still it attracts some, just to say, not nice things, rodents, basically, where they'll go and try to find something that's still left to eat. One thing, love it, safflower. If you hate squirrels, now you won't attract as many birds. It's almost you have to train them, where cardinals love safflower. Now, safflower, and there's a safflower and sunflower mix. You can get straight safflower. The cool thing about safflower is that it's bitter to squirrels. Now, well, let's go back for a minute. We were talking about hot meats, right? Hot meats, it has capsaicin pepper in it so that it doesn't attract the squirrels. Like if you think of a ghost pepper, did you ever eat a ghost pepper? Hot.
Yeah.
Do you like hot?
No.
Medium. Because you're Cuban.
Yeah.
You're Cuban, yeah, so that's Mexican.
That's Mexican, yeah. You got it.
Aaron? You look like somebody who would like dare to eat a Carolina Reaper pepper.
No, sir. I wouldn't try it.
No?
Remember, he's got stomach problems.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
You talk about
ghost
peppers.
You remember it twice.
Nobody.
That's another show.
Yes.
But where squirrels have saliva glands, so squirrels can taste and feel that heat where birds do not. So birds can go ahead and eat that hot pepper that's on the squirrel-proof feed mixes that are out there, and that's why they don't, you know, it doesn't really slow down the birds at all, but it certainly slows down the squirrels. Safflower is one of the same things where the birds like it, and there's some that don't, like grackles don't like it, which is good because we don't like grackles. But where the safflower will feed the birds like cardinals and the birds that we want,
But the squirrels, because of the saliva gland, it's tasted and it's bitter to them, so they don't like it. Now, I never asked a squirrel, but that's what the research has shown.
That's right.
Don't be discouraged if you put a feeder out. It's brand new, first time you're going out there. Look, honey, we're putting a feeder up.
Yeah.
And you go out there and you fill it with feed, and like nobody knows it's there.
Yeah.
Just wait. Just wait. I'm at the point where my birds are mad when I don't feed my feeder. I mean, I feel guilty. You know, they kind of all looking around. I think it's like that scene from The Birds where they're going to attack me. It's like, where have you been? But where all of a sudden you'll get to that point where you'll recognize some of the birds that are coming to your feeder, and that it's an interesting hobby. And that's why, you know, makes your blood pressure go down and gets you relaxed, unless you're like, oh, darn it, I got to feed, put the feeder in there. But when you're watching, I mean, Ava's still, is she still watching the bird feeder?
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
And she still is.
They're still going strong.
Yeah? Yeah. I love that. I love that. So go out there, get a good bird feeder, get something that is a squirrel resistant feeder. I recommend Brome just because it is such a good brand, reliable, guaranteed. They'll do all kinds of things where if like something happens where your tube breaks or something, I've had it personally where they sent me the parts or you know, fixed it. So Brome feeders, and that they're actually out of Canada. So it's not something, maybe it's built in China. I really don't know, but I know that the company is headquartered in Canada, and that's the brand that I would go with. Like them very much, and it's been, I've had the same feeder now for several years. So
can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Also, I suggest everyone put the feeder in a place where they can admire it, where they can actually sit down and relax, because like it's right outside my daughter's window, and on days like, you know, we've had all month where it's super super warm, you know, we can kick back with the breeze coming in and admire the birds as they come, and they're chirping in and out. It's beautiful.
Good suggestion. I have one similar thing. It's right outside so you have a sink and your window's above your sink. I have one right outside that window so that while I'm either doing dishes or doing something, you know, in the sink or that area, also that happens to be near a screened-in porch that we have now. Granted, I haven't been out there too much lately, but still I can see the birds. So make sure that you can observe.
Yes,
you know, that's good. But it's not going to scare the birds. Trust me, when they're hungry enough, they're going to go eat it. And just like I said, if you're setting up a new feeder, they're going to be leery of it for a while, but they'll eventually dive in, start feeding, and try to keep it full. Don't do what I do and just starve them out once in a while because I forget. It's like, darn it. But keep it full, and that you'll be amazed on how many different types of birds will feed off it. Like downy woodpeckers. I had a full-size woodpecker on the thing, and it was like, you know, looked like a Jurassic Park bird. But again, make sure you keep it full and get one of the varieties from Brome. You'll be good. You'll be good. Anything to add, Julio?
No, you can also use, I did a lot of that before, but I need to get back. And I bought a book on, you know, just to see, you know, how the birds are and how they react.
Yeah.
And
I went online and just went to YouTube, and I went to Northern Red Cardinal Call.
Really?
And I went and I played it, and all of a sudden – Cardinals were all over.
Oh,
you know, they're
God.
Like, hey, what's going on? Hey, 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 where is that? Where's that Cardinal? He's
so
screeching all
in,
over
huh?
the place. But I've done it with other birds, too, like black-capped chickadee. That's all of a sudden they show up. So the bird calls do work. You know, it may sound geeky, but that's why, you know, people learn bird calls because they can call them and then they're attracted.
So. Yeah, that's a great idea because, you know, you were saying about putting it up and you have to wait for them to come in.
Oh, yeah.
You're luring them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. They're wondering what's going on.
Yeah, what's,
hey, there's a new girl in the neighborhood. That's probably what they're mostly interested in. But it's interesting because you can lure them, especially in the spring.
Uh-huh.
In the spring when when the new hatchlings are out, and it's like all of a sudden it is actually more fun. And I don't care if you call me a geek, it is very, very interesting to see the dynamic selection of birds that we have here in the Northeast, in Mid-Atlantic.
Amazing.
So get out there, mm-hmm. get your birds fed. We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best looking plants in the neighborhood.
Fall is for planting. Visit Bloomers Nursery and let one of Bloomers nurserymen help you lay out your next landscape project. Bloomers has the finest selection of fall flowers. Hardy mums in multiple sizes, celosia, coxcomb, winter pansies, ornamental peppers, ornamental kale and cabbage, and all types of grasses. Bloomers has a frightening large selection of face pumpkins, flat stacking pumpkins, gourds, and fall decorating items. Come visit Bloomers, the store behind the radio program, open 7 days. Go to www.bloomers.com. That's www.bloomers.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Earlier this year, we introduced you to the glow-in-the-dark firefly petunia. We now have an update for you.
Yeah. Received from one of our main growers, a big grower, to ask a survey about firefly petunias. Basically, they're trying to decide whether they should grow them or not. I reached out to them and talked to one of the gentlemen at the greenhouse, and basically said, look, you know, I grew them. I gave plants to both Aaron and to Julio. I had my sister buy. I'm not buying my sister plants. She can buy her own plants that she was growing in South Carolina. Plants were expensive. They were $40 a piece. I got 15 and planted them in a pot. Aaron, did you plant yours in the ground?
Yes, I did.
Aaron's went in the ground. Where did yours go, Julio?
I repotted mine
in
a pot.
And what size pot?
A 20-inch.
So big.
Yeah.
One plant, or did you mix it with something else?
No, I had one plant.
But one plant, and did it grow?
Not as much as I would like.
Yeah. I understand that. Mine were in a pot that big, but it was mixed in. I had two pots. I had one that was mixed, and I had another one that was all the firefly petunias. And let me back up. So what's great about firefly petunias? They glow in the dark. I mean, they literally glow in the dark. So when it's nighttime and there's no light, They're glowing in the dark. How cool is that? And okay, it's a science. We talk about the science. Horticulture is science, everybody. They took the DNA from a iridescent, which means glow in the dark, mushroom and crossed it into the petunia. Yeah. Wow. The buds glow, the flowers glow, the actual veining on the leaf glows. And I mean, it's not something where you can, you know, light up a walkway so people don't fall, but it, you can see it most of the time. Now, the questions were, you know, is your customer going to pay $40 for a 4-inch pot? Ooh, it's pricey. Our conclusion, not only with, you know, the three of us, but also my sister and also the greenhouse, because they trialed them as well, is it's a great idea. And who read the article? Did you read the article?
I did.
What did it say, Aaron?
Yeah, it said that they were at the top of the list for garden inventions for this year.
So the most unique, innovative product in horticulture for this year.
Yes.
Okay. I get it, but it's not ready for prime time.
I agree.
We found when it was cooler, they did good. They did fine. They filled in. They, you know, they look like a regular petunias. Like, for instance, like wave petunias are easy peasy. Drop them in the ground. They take over. This is not like that. Mm-mm. They did well when the weather was cooler and a little bit on the drier side where you could control watering. By the time we got into July, August, they were turning yellow. It didn't matter if you gave them fertilizer or water or kept them dry. It just wasn't working.
Yeah, I think I lost my leaves, my flowers almost immediately
when
I put them in the ground. I mean, they were still hanging in there, but I just didn't get any more bloom or growth.
Yeah, and I would be afraid, one, first of all, you're paying a lot of money for the plant, and two, it just didn't have the – it lost the glow-in-the-dark appeal when the plant looked sickly during the day. And also, one of the things is it needed – to have no light. I mean, it was glowing no matter where you had it, but if you had some light and there was like light pollution around or something else, you couldn't tell that it was glowing in the dark. I know that there were times where, it's what I do, okay? I walked out to the plant and to a big pot, and it was a big 20-inch pot, and I kicked the pot to make it jiggle so I could see, oh yeah, that's where it's blooming from. Because the flowers are white, and sometimes you just can't tell whether it's a little bit of from the full moon or something along those lines. Where, again, it's just not ready, but I'm not saying it's a loser. I'm just saying that it needs to be refined, it needs to be crossed. And when I talked to the gentleman from the greenhouse, he had said that he grew them and he had mambo petunias that were next to it, and that basically it's a vigorous ground cover type petunias. And he actually had just like berries we talked in the earlier segment, it crossed where the flower cross produced new plants and new seedlings. The seeds came up and it had the properties of the glow in that mambo petunia cross. So that's great because it doesn't necessarily only need to be a vegetative cutting, but we'll see. I mean, there's a whole thing, you know, also shaded where he shared with me about royalties. Each one of those plants, like I said, it's, you know, costs $40. $10 of that is a royalty that goes back to the parent company. So who did, I mean, they deserve whatever, right?
Sure.
But when you buy a plug of plants, like say I'm a grower and I'm going to step that plug from into a 4-inch pot or into a bigger pot, that there's 120 plants in there. That's $1,200 in just royalties. Wow. Holy smokes. It's cool, but it's not that cool. No. But I guess it was for me to buy it the first time. Will I buy it next year? Not yet. Not yet. They need to change it. They need to hybridize it. They need to they've got to get it ready for prime time, because I don't want to disappoint my customer with something that they're going to fail on, because they're expecting it to be a wave petunia or a proven winter petunia where it's almost like just add water and it grows gigantic, where this is not struggling. Struggles. Plant struggles. If you're interested, try it.
Yeah.
Spend the $40, see what it looks like, because you can get them online. They didn't come in great, I've got to say. They still had their netting on where they were rooted, but still, we got them to grow for a while, and it looked really cool, and I got to share. Like, I can remember my stepson bringing him in the bathroom. Was like, look at this, and you know, I brought him in and closed the door and showing him, and it's like, look, and he goes, what? And then I moved the thing, and it was all glowing, so... It does work. Yeah. It's just not ready for prime time. We'll be back in the garden right after these messages. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic Potting Mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, you know, every time we get a new plant, I wonder, okay, where'd it get its name? There are some things are obvious. Like when we get, candy corn, Spirea. It looks like candy corn. I understand that. But Annabelle hydrangea is a beautiful hydrangea. It's one of the smooth hydrangeas. It's not macrophylla like the blue ones, or it's not going to be like... one of the panicle hydrangeas that are just getting done flowering now, that are usually they have the pods that have turned or the seed heads that are turning colors. But this is a smooth hydrangea, great big round flowers. And it was the first one. Annabelle was the first one that was out there. And that you think it's like, oh, well, who's Annabelle?
Yeah.
Who's Annabelle?
Yeah, I don't know who she is.
You know, you don't know who Annabelle is? You better not. Well, there was a gardener in 1910. So we're going back a ways.
Yeah. Way back.
Holy, I won't make any jokes. Anyway, we're going back to 1910. And Harriet Kilpatrick was horseback riding. And she was on a wooded hill. And she saw these things growing. And she saw what she saw are what became Annabelle hydrangeas. And she showed them to her sister, Amy. And they planted them in their garden, and that it was just something. It was always known. And now, wait a minute. Let me back up. Wait a minute. The sisters, none of them are named Annabelle.
Yeah.
So they had them growing in their garden. People would see them, and that they would say, wow, these are incredible. Mm-hmm. They didn't go into actual production until 1960, and that they were deemed Annabelle hydrangeas.
About that.
And the reason is they were found in Anna, Illinois.
Oh.
So that's where the name came from. It came from the town. So in Illinois. So I always think it's like, wow, you know, Annabelle must be attractive woman or whatever, or maybe somebody who's like, there is no Annabelle. Yeah. There's Annabelle, Illinois. And there's some of those same plants are still there. And that it was wild. So it was a discovered new plant introduction. That's how it works. Some of you may know the proven winner, Incredible Hydrangea. Those have basketball-sized round white flowers. That is another type of smooth hydrangea, kind of like the Annabelle. So just think of it as Incredible is the modern Annabelle. So again, if you want to pick out a nice plant, smooth hydrangeas. Take a look at smooth hydrangeas because they are beautiful.
Yeah, they're huge.
All right, Julio, anything to add about Annabelle?
No. I'm glad you told me all about Anna.
Annabelle,
Illinois.
Yeah. I'll tell you about Nellie Stevens. We'll talk about Nellie Stevens Holly.
Yeah,
right?
Great.
Anyway, we'll be back in the garden right after these messages. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Yeah. Wow, that was soft.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I could barely hear it. Yeah. Let me grab your hearing aid, Julio. Let's see if I can hear that one. Yeah. Anyway, interesting show.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, the birds and the bees.
Yeah, sure.
Berries, it's frustrating because a lot of people that they buy hollies for them specifically to have berries, and they wonder is what happened in that
by berries.
You know, maybe from like, look, we always tell you to go to your local garden center for a reason. If you're going to Home Depot and you're going, oh, look at the hollies, they're so cheap, and you're buying male hollies, and you're expecting to have this great Christmas holly with berry display, and you don't have them, go to your local garden center. They're the ones. They have the information. They are the gatekeepers. They are the, I call them the kingmakers, because they know what products work well. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. So I don't know. It's a great time to go to your gardens. They are in transition, probably to Christmas, like Bloomers is.
But we still have plants.
Yeah, we do have lots of plants. We do have lots of plants. All right. Thank you, Lexi, our new producer.
Oh, look at that.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome,
All right. We'll see you next week right here. See you in the garden.
See you in the garden.